It's good to see you here this morning. This is the last in the series called Deep Faith. It's from the book of Habakkuk, the book with just three little chapters. In chapter one, we talked about the complaint, the question, why, O God, that Habakkuk had. Chapter two was God responding with answers, God saying, Trust me, have faith, overcome, trust me. And now chapter three is all about the journey of walking in faith, walking it out. See, there's a difference in feeling faith at the church altar and living faith in your home or in your workplace. There's a difference in finding faith and living it out. There's a big difference in declaring faith and doing faith. And that's what chapter 3 is about. The prophet Habakkuk knew the secret. He said, even after faith arouses us and makes us alive again and gives us hope, that does not mean things change immediately. That's why it's called faith. It's unseen. We have to wait. You know, that's how it is when you take medicine. If you have a headache and you run in there to get an aspirin, you don't take the aspirin, and as the aspirin goes down your throat, like it has on the little things on TV, all of a sudden the little meds go straight to your head and stop the headache. You know it doesn't do that, even though the little arrows point that way on the commercials. You know that it has to go into your stomach and it takes a while to get that in you. And then you gradually begin to see the effects of taking the aspirin for the headache. Now, that's sort of what it's like about faith. We declare our faith. We feel gut faith. We decide we're going to walk in faith. But you know what? Sometimes it takes a while for that to sort of get in us, to get going in us. And that's what faith is. It takes a while to see the evidence that the faith is there sometimes. That's how it is with medicine. Has to get it in you. Speaking of medicine, I want to point at somebody for a minute. Sitting right by Peggy back there is Elinda Manileus. Elinda, stand up for a moment. This is Elinda. Elinda was a master's commission student here for several years back a long time ago. And early 2000s. And all right, 2002 to 4. And how about this? She's from Finland. She left here, went back to Finland for a while, then went to Scotland, where she's been in medical school. And I am just so happy to have her here. She's just about finished with all of her schooling. And isn't that awesome? Linda, we are glad you're here. What an incredible girl. Linda knows it's true that sometimes when you take a step, and medical school would be one of those steps, you don't just go to medical school, take a couple of classes, and then you're doing brain surgery. It takes a while to get all that information and that practice. That's why it's called practice in medicine. You have to practice it so long to learn how to do it. Habakkuk basically said this. This is how you get faith in you. He said, when circumstances look bad, just hit the rejoice button and turn up the volume. Hit the rejoice button and turn up the volume. Country music is a really big deal in the United States of America. And I, even though I didn't grow up with country music, well, I grew up around it, but that wasn't my favorite as I was growing up. I've gotten to where I can like it sometimes. Now, nothing against Loretta Lynn or Kenny Chesney or Conway Twitty or any of their fans or anything like that, but I still don't particularly like the twangy songs. I especially don't like the ones that just drip with sadness and divorce and alcohol and wife abuse and poverty. I get tickled reading the names of some of those songs. And I've got a list for you just for fun. How about this one? I'm not joking. These are real songs. I've been flushed from the bathroom of your heart. I'm drinking Christmas dinner all alone this year. How about this one? I bought the shoes that just walked out on me. How about this one? This white circle on my finger means we're through. If you won't leave me, I'll find someone who will. Thank God and Greyhound, she's gone. When you wrapped my lunch in a road map, I knew you meant goodbye. I sent her artificial flowers for her artificial love. How can I miss you if you won't go away? Okay, guys, this one stings. I wish I were a woman so I could go out with a guy like me. And here's the best one. Did I shave my legs for this? I know it can be sort of therapeutic sometimes to listen to someone sing about their problems and when you have the blues and you sort of identify with somebody, but I'm telling you, even Elvis could tell you that sad music doesn't pull anybody out of depression. You need to change the channel. It's the truth. You need to change the channel. Centuries ago, the prophet Habakkuk composed in chapter 3 what sounds like an old syrupy country ballad. The entire chapter, third chapter of that book of Habakkuk, is actually a song. It is. It's a song. I want to just pick up the song in verse 16. I heard and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not blossom and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. Hey, those first lines sort of sound like an old country syrupy, you expect a steel guitar any time now. It's not a melancholy dirge, I promise you. It's not an old twangy, sad country song. I got to tell you this. The musical notation, which the Bible has, if you read Psalms, you see these little things, these words, you don't know what they mean. And the first verse of chapter 3 says, gives the musical notation of how to sing this song. It says, a prayer, it's verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet according to Shigionoth. Look at that. According to Shigionoth. Let me tell you what Shigionoth means. It's really a cool word. It's not a slow, whiny, sad, cry-in-your-beer ballad. It's a high form of praise. It means, you're going to love this one, wild, rhythmic, exuberant. Praise, pumped-up volume, no limits. It's worship punctuated with exclamation points. It's how we started our service today. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's what the word Shigionoth means. It's not a bad thing at all. Before I had my own experience with the Lord, Pentecostal experience, being filled with the Holy Spirit, I had been told by people that criticize Pentecostal folks for being too emotional. Oh, they just get hepped up on their emotions. When I was a little kid, there was a tent meeting that would come every summer to our town. And it was on right past our street down to the left. That's where they would put it, in this little field. And during the summer, we didn't have anything to do, so we'd get in the car and Dad would ride around town. We'd ride around. I don't know what we're looking at. We'd just ride around. And we'd always go to the tent revival and just drive up in the little parking area and stop and watch the people in the tent revival. Now, people used to do that a lot around town that weren't Pentecostal folks. They would watch them. And a lot of people would watch and would make fun of them and would throw things or honk their horns or be stupid. Dad would never allow anything like that. He said, those are good folks in there. But we would watch them. We wouldn't understand what was going on, but we would watch them. But I remember my parents always said then, oh, they just get real emotional. They just get too emotional. The assumption was that if anybody cried or laughed or shouted or swayed or jumped or danced or waved their hands in the air or acted anything other than super dignified, then they were probably theologically off base and mentally unstable. That's sort of the mindset that everybody had. Then I discovered the power of praise when you pray and worship God in the Holy Spirit. And I found out that David, who wrote the book on exuberant praise, did not agree with the common thoughts of our day. He sort of had the idea that shouting, clapping, singing, dancing to rhythm was the thing to do. And so did Habakkuk. He was even accused of being a religious fanatic, remember? Habakkuk knew the same stuff. There are times when we need to go overboard in praise. Listen to me. There are times we need to seem to go overboard in praise. And let me tell you when those times are. Those times are when things are dark, and when things aren't making sense, and when you're waiting on the Lord and it hadn't come around the corner yet. That's the time to, as Habakkuk said, shigano. Shigano sounds like a dance, doesn't it? Sort of shimmy, you know, shigano. Psalm 34 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Magnify, duh, it means to make something bigger, larger, so you can see it clearer. That's what the word magnify means. We have to do that. When we're in the middle of a downtime in our life, when things are not working out well, when it's like Habakkuk was living his life to where the enemy was attacking and God hadn't delivered them yet, they were sitting there twiddling their thumbs going, oh God, are you going to come through? Are you going to come through? Then you have to magnify the Lord and make him bigger, because right now he's small in our eyes when we're hurting. So we magnify the Lord. We make it bigger so it'll be clear to see what kind of God we have. Tell about the great things he's done. Tell him in large groups. Tell him in small groups. Tell him in your home. Tell him at work. I laughed a while back. Peggy and I had gone to a banquet. I had to speak at a banquet. It was a tablescapes banquet at another church. It was really sort of fun. We were sitting at this table. I was quite uncomfortable there. It was an all Roll Tide Alabama table. And I was wearing blue, so you know how it goes. Anyway, we were there talking, and I met the most wonderful people sitting there. This lady and her husband had moved originally to Mississippi and then to Alabama from Washington State. Now that is culture shock right there. Washington, Mississippi, then Alabama. And I said, do you like it here? Oh, we love it here. It's the greatest place in the world. Well, what was the biggest thing about culture shock? Well, I'll tell you what it was. She said, back home, she said, nobody ever talked about their faith at work. You just couldn't do it. That was just taboo. You just didn't do it. Faith was a private thing. You talked about it at your church. She said, my first day at work, when I moved down here in Mississippi, my first day in work, the main boss came in and said, all right, everybody, prayer request. She sat back and said, what? He goes, prayer request. And he gave a prayer request and pinned it up on a bulletin board, she said, that had prayer requests on it. She said, I knew I was in a different world. Let me tell you what. Sometimes we have to talk about the things of God everywhere we are. We magnify the Lord. We make it bigger. We make it bigger. We don't just go to him and beg him with some sappy, poor me prayer, but a confident declaration of this is who God is. This is how faithful he is. In other words, you exercise deep faith. When you don't see it, you exercise deep faith. Habakkuk 3 has this specific application for us as we pass through this very difficult season we're in of national crisis. And we all feel it, don't we? We're in a national crisis. Economic uncertainty. Spiritual challenges. We're in a day of distress now. We'll be tempted to sing the blues. If we focus on barren fig trees and empty fields and lost jobs and shrinking family budgets, we'll be singing the blues with all the country singers. But Habakkuk says to do something different. Listen carefully. One, Shigionoth. Come on. One, Shigionoth. Shift the mood. Create a noisy soundtrack of praise. The prophet refused to let the failures of the present dictate what was going to happen in the future. He wasn't in denial of the facts. He just knew who God was. He just knew that God would take care of it. God was above those circumstances. He broke out of depression with this loud declaration. He chose to shigionoth instead of to sulk. He sang with a deep emotion. This is the song he sang. Though the fig tree does not blossom. It's almost like hearing some of those tent preachers I've heard before. Though the fig tree does not blossom, praise God. And though there are no grapes on the vine, praise God. And though the olive crop fails, praise God. Though the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, though there are no cattle in the stall, though unemployment is high, wages are low, though gas prices are through the roof and confidence is through the floor, though college costs like rip, no one learns a thing. While politicians play and preachers pray and people pay. Sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? Look at verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Shigionoth. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. I feel low, but I'm going to talk about high because that's where God is. I might feel like I'm in the valley, but I'm going to climb my way up the mountain. It's called faith. It's called faith. The higher the mountain, the deeper the faith. It's true. Faith. If you're in a difficult place, I invite you to cancel your pity party. Stop singing sad songs about how bad it is. Instead, go to a secret place, shut the door, and raise the roof with some shigionoth praise. That's what God says. Now, so the first thing he wants us to do, Habakkuk says, shigionoth. Second thing, trust. Trust in the one who's never failed you. Even though you feel like it, trust, you feel like giving up. Trust in the Lord who's never failed you. Some of you heard me share this before. Some of you haven't. But I can't help but think of the trust. When I think of the word trust, I think of this now. When about several years ago, I think it was in 2007, or so, I had a major surgery on my brain. I had a brain aneurysm, a large brain aneurysm that had to be repaired. And the aneurysm didn't burst. I'm so thankful to God they discovered it before that. But I had to have the craniotomy thing where they, you know, lift your lid, fix your head, and put your lid back down. I had to have all of that done, and it was quite difficult and quite painful, and recovery took for a while. I don't even remember some of it, but some of the things I remember are crazy. Much of that is due to brain surgery and morphine. But one of the things that I remember so vividly, I could describe every detail to you. Somehow, during my recovery period, I dreamed that I was at the BP station down there, and a Hawaiian man, a big husky Hawaiian with long hair, shot me with a shotgun in the head. I remember him pointing it at me. I was at the at pump number two, and he shot me. And it was as real as anything in this world. And somehow, in my mind, that dream became reality. And I was convinced that somebody shot me. And when I would look in the mirror and see this massive bruise and staples and scars, it was obvious, there's the evidence. The guy shot me. And so, as my family tells me, I can sort of a little bit remember it, I asked them if they caught the guy that shot me. And Peggy said to me, first of all, she said, "No, Mark, you dreamed that. You had a brain aneurysm and you had surgery." And I thought, don't lie to me. It was so real to me. Do not try to pull the wool over me. Don't protect me. I know the guy shot me. So later on, one of my daughters came in the room and I said, "Your mother's not telling me the truth. I got shot, didn't I?" And the look on their face was like, "Oh dear, Dad he's lost it now." And then my second daughter came in and I asked her, and I'm thinking they're in cahoots with each other and they're trying to hide this from me. And I promise you, I would look in the mirror and go, he shot me. And they're going to let the guy go. It was so real to me. But do you know what changed everything? Somewhere deep, it was in my heart and maybe a little bit of my brain, the back part of my brain probably, because the front part wasn't working too well. Back in the back part of my brain, I remembered this. My wife has never lied to me. And my children have done nothing but good for me. I don't have any record to base on the fact that they would hide this from me. So I'm just going to have to trust them. That even though I know that Hawaiian guy shot me, that maybe they're telling me the truth. Now, that has really meant a lot to me after that, because I realize that's how faith is sometimes. There are so many times, Paul, you're shaking your head like you know what I'm talking about. There's so many times when you can look at life and go, "I don't see the evidence that things are going well. I don't see that God is working. But I'm just going to have to trust that He's never failed me, and He will not fail me this time." Now, that's deep faith. It feels like weak faith, but it's not. It's deep faith. I trust the one who's never failed me. So that's what he said. Number one, shigyan oath. Number two, trust him. And number three, grow. Climb the mountain of faith a little higher. He'll give you sure-footedness like a mountain deer as you climb those heights. One of my favorite guys in history, American history, is a guy named Jim Bridger. They wrote songs about him. Once there was a mountain man who couldn't write his name, yet he deserves a front row seat in history's Hall of Fame. He forgot more about the Indians than we will ever know. He spoke the language of the Sioux, the Blackfoot, and the Crow. How about that? I remember that song from a little kid. Jim Bridger. He was an old mountain man that carved trails to California. Let me tell you what he said, and this is awesome. He said, "Leave your wagons and your horses in the valley. But if you want to know where you're going, go to the trouble of climbing the mountain, because only at the top of the mountain can you see where you're going." Habakkuk said the same thing Jim Bridger said. You may have to leave your horses and wagons and life down in the valley, but if you don't know where you're going and you feel like you can't see, you're too low, you can't see, then climb faith's mountain for a while. Go to the trouble of climbing the mountain, because you can see things better from up there. If you'll climb Faith's Mountain, you can see what God says a little bit better from there. You might even see His hand up there. And you're for sure going to see where you're going. That's not just faith. That's deep faith. And that's what Habakkuk says. Now today, if musicians will come, today I want to do something that may seem a little odd, seem a little different, but we're going to do this. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do all three of those things that Habakkuk suggested. To grow, to trust, and we're going to end it with some Shiginov. In just a moment, I'm going to offer an opportunity for those who you're having a crisis of trust right now. You are at a wall. You don't see any evidence, but you know God has told you, I'm coming through for you. You're at that wall, and I'm going to ask you if you would like to come and spend a moment. Someone would just agree with you about that wall you're at, just to give you some encouraging words of trust, who can look at you and say, I promise you, I've been there. God will come through for you. Maybe you just need somebody to say that to you today. The Bible says that's what we're supposed to do. So I'm going to give you that opportunity to come down and let that be a way for you to climb Faith Mountain just a little bit, just to trust and to grow. We're going to let you have that opportunity. And then, just after a couple of minutes, I'm going to ask everyone to stand, and we're going to close this service with a little Shiginov. Some exuberant praise. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And no matter what you're feeling, no matter how dark your day is, we're going to close this service by you focusing on Him and Shiginov in a little bit and say, God, I am going to change the channel. I'm not going to walk out of here with my head hanging low. I'm going to walk out of here knowing that the redeemed of the Lord, and by the way, redeemed means God changes the circumstances, God is coming through for me. I'm going to ask you all to stand, if you will. As the musicians play and our prayer team, would you come to the front now and join us? Just come and stand and wait. We're going to ask if you need someone to come and agree with you. Things are tough. Let me tell you what. If I was going through an economic hard time right now, or a personal hard time, I would not sit back and wait. I would let somebody come and pray with me and encourage me right now. I can't imagine anybody wanting to stay back after that. You just come on right now, step out right now, and let somebody just agree with you and talk with you and encourage you and go right back to your seat. All right, would you come? Step out right now. If you need some encouragement right now, would you come? Would you come? Just step out and come right now. That's right. Just step out and come right now. You need some encouragement. You need some encouragement. You need some encouragement. Just come on. Heavenly Father, lift